Hi, this is Susie Larson, and thank you so much for listening to Live the Promise today. Our website is filled with even more powerful and encouraging interviews. Learn more by logging on to myfaithradio.com. Good afternoon. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I'm Susie Larson, and this is Live the Promise, and we are here to help you engage in a strong and active walk of faith. Welcome. So glad you tuned in. Happy Thursday. Hope you've had a great week so far. Well, I'm looking forward to today's show. We're going to talk about what it means to come back strong after a setback or difficulty in life. And in the second hour, we'll hear from the lead singer of Remedy Drive as he shares the story behind his newest album. All right. So here's my question. When have you found faith in the dark? Can you think of a time that God gave you strength and perspective when you felt only weak and alone? Can you think of a time right in the midst of your valley of the shadow where God strengthened you and then he gave you perspective that you know was just from him because it didn't come from you? I would love to hear your story. 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. We've got a few copies of my guest book today, Finding Faith in the Dark, When the Story of Your Life Takes a Turn You Didn't Plan, by Lori Short. I'm going to tell you about my guest, and we'll get this conversation started. Lori Short is a speaker, author, and associate pastor of Ocean Hills Covenant Church. She speaks at conferences, colleges, churches, and denominational events around the country. She's a graduate of Fuller Theological Seminary and author of several youth ministry books. Lori's husband, Jerry, and stepson, Jordan, are evidence of God's sweet grace in her life. You can find her on the web at LoriShort.com. Lori, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Susie. It's great to be here.
Yeah, I've so enjoyed our conversation. I thought we're not finished yet. So it's so fun that you're back on with us again today. And as you know, we love to start out talking scripture, wondering if there's either a verse that God's been speaking about these days or a life verse you can share with us.
Yes, well, today I've been ruminating on Psalm 131, just as a great short little psalm for people who are going through the season where they just don't see what God is doing. And David writes, "My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Mm. Like a weaned child is my soul within me." I just love that image of when we're waiting or we're not seeing what God is doing, that he is growing our soul.
Wow, that is so good. That's a word for me today, Lori. And one I was thinking about this morning is Isaiah 30:15, "And repentance and rest will be your salvation, and quietness and confidence your strength." And there's so much there, too. It's like, you know, we're saved through repentance and then resting in the finished work of Christ, and we find our strength when we have our confidence in him and don't get into our own striving. So those two really do parallel, don't they?
Yes, they sure do.
Hmm. Well, Lori, for those who didn't hear our last conversation, would you give us a little backstory on your upbringing and your faith journey?
Sure. Well, like everyone, I grew up with the dreams for my life that I would probably get married about 25. I wasn't the ring by spring gal, but I did think that maybe after I graduated college that then I would meet somebody. I had come to know the Lord, and I was praying and seeking him and just believing that he was going to bring me a life partner because that was such a desire of my heart. And like many women, I waited, and it was past what I had planned and got into my 30s. And then in my 40s, I began to wonder if God and I were speaking different languages because he didn't appear to be listening, or I really felt that he was keeping something that I really wanted so much. And that wasn't really an unreasonable request, Susie. You know, it was just something that I think a lot of us long for. And then I finally did get engaged. And so it was a huge celebration. And then within the year of my engagement, my fiance was deployed. And in the time of his deployment, he actually reconciled with his ex-wife, which, again, is a wonderful story when you're not the girl engaged to the guy.
Mm-hmm.
So, when he came back after a year and a half of being engaged in a wedding dress and two bridal showers and furniture in the home waiting, we broke up and he remarried his ex-wife. And for me, it was a crisis of faith because I think I looked at it, like many people did, as such a good story all the way around, except for for me, it almost felt like I was the sacrificial lamb in an area that I wanted and desired so much. And so those were dark days for me, just when I had to look outside my own circumstances as to what God might be doing or where he might be. And that really, that piece of my journey is what led me to write this book, Finding Faith in the Dark.
And Laura, you experience loss in the place that you've already experienced prolonged heartbreak. And that can be something that can lead to a crisis of faith. I have a family member, a precious niece who's just had miscarriage, failed adoptions, things you can't even imagine. And she said, everywhere I turn, I see people saying, oh, I'm pregnant again. And she's
right.
Like, you don't even know. And there was one child she had in her home for almost 2 years, and then they changed their mind. I mean, horrific things where you go, how can you ever recover from that? And it is amazing how when you're in that kind of a valley, you run into people who in that particular area, it seems they don't even know what they have because it's just come so easy and has been so storybook. What did you learn about that? I'm sure you experienced that, didn't you? Where you looked around and people were like, what? I met him in college and I got married and what's the big deal?
Yes, well, definitely. And there are many other stories in the book besides mine and some of them which have to do with exactly what you're talking about, people who couldn't get pregnant or whatever your loss is. One of the things that I learned actually from the Word is that we tend to look at other people who have a different journey than us, especially in the area of loss, and say, you know, why, Lord, why am I going through this? And why, you know, why was I a bridesmaid 15 times over? I mean, my closet was full. And I think people who can't get pregnant, you know, the idea of going to a baby shower, I mean, these things, they bring up such pain in our lives. But in John 21, when Peter was told that he was going to be led where he didn't want to go, he kind of mirrors our response in that he looks at John walking by right after Jesus says that and says, but Lord, what about him? Mm-hmm. And I think, and you know, it's interesting what Jesus says. He says, Peter, if I want him to remain alive until I return, what is that to you? You must follow me. And I think there's this idea that we all have a different story. And as much as we might want another story to live, we have to realize that pain is packaged differently in people's lives, but everybody goes through things. And I think we sort of feel like we're the only one when we're going through it and we see other people that aren't going through the same pain we are. But our journey is to live our story, the one that God has given us, whatever the circumstances are, and to try to live that story the best that we can, realizing that God's perspective, like the psalm I read, is so far bigger and greater than we can even see.
You know, I think that is partly what Scripture talks about as far as I don't look to the left or to the right. I know that's referring to different options as well, but I think when we look to the left and to the right versus looking up, we are going to see stories in different chapters. And if we're surrounded by people who happen to be on a good chapter of their life story and we're not, we think this is kind of this, it sums up how God is being to us and how he's being to them, where truly you walk it out long enough, you enter into a new chapter, and those people who seem like they were skating, they themselves are encountering trials. I mean, that's just part of life, isn't it?
Oh, Susie, that is a huge theme in the book, that we tend to end the story when we're in a chapter that is despairing, and we just go, this is it, and we look at other people's soundbite, particularly on Facebook and Instagram and other people's images, and we compare our life to other perfect images, which are not, they're just images,
right,
of people's lives. And I think we have to recognize that life is so much bigger and longer, and we are just in the middle of the story. If you woke up this morning and you're breathing, you're still in the story. God is not finished with you.
Indeed. So. Okay, so I'm talking to Laurie Short today. I've got a few copies of her book. It's excellent. It's called Finding Faith in the Dark. Here's a question for you, unless you've got a question for Laurie. If you get on the air, you get a copy. My question for you is, how would you title this particular chapter of your life? What would you call it? And if you need some encouragement, we're here to pray with you, stand with you. But I'm just curious, how would you title this particular chapter? Give us a call, 877-933-2484, 877-933-2484. On your mark, get set, give me a call, or email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. So here's an excerpt from your book, and these are quotes. We found something on your tests. We're letting you go. I want a divorce. I can't marry you anymore. These phrases descend on us like unwelcome visitors, and we long to send them away. Instead, they beckon us to follow, and we don't get to choose whether or not we go. There is evidence, however, that we don't go alone, and our response to where we are led can make a difference in how our story unfolds. That last line is so huge. Our response to where we are led can make a difference in how our story unfolds. Play that out for us in both scenarios where we maybe respond in a way that impacts our story negatively. What does that look like?
Well, I think that when we look at our life, just like what we were talking about, as it's over, is this what God has given me after all this time of waiting? You know, for me, it was you brought me a fiance and then took him away, and gosh, and then I had a series of choices at that point. I could have said, you know what, Lord, you are not good, and if this is the way that you act, instead of trusting that maybe I just didn't see or couldn't understand what he was doing, if I had just judged him on the basis of that action and said, you know what, so I'm going to take the reins in my own hands, and I'm just going to go and find a husband myself. And I think God allows us that freedom to respond differently to him. He's given us a free will. And there were a myriad of choices that I had at that point. Even in my 40s, there were still men that I was meeting, and I could have gone in different directions that would have led me never apart from God, because he goes with us, but would have led me in a very different direction than I ended up by just waiting on him. So that's really what I'm talking about in the book, is that, and then for somebody who maybe could not get pregnant, instead of just, you know, continuing to push for having a biological pregnancy when maybe God has this incredible baby that's waiting for you in another way. I mean, I never actually had a biological child, and I realized looking around the world that there were a lot of children who needed mothering. It was just a question of me looking outside of what I wanted God to do and saying, maybe God wants something of me at this time. And that's a very difficult place to get to when you're longing for something in your heart. But I do think we have choices when things happen to us of how we respond, and that does make a difference.
And those choices do have consequences. And
yes.
I can't remember the name of Bruce Wilkinson's book. I think it might be The Life That God Rewards, but he's talking about the pruning process. And he said there's times when God is pruning you back for the purpose of greater fruitfulness. But he said, and he was talking exactly about what you were saying, that if we don't understand when it's a pruning season, we can get offended with God and put ourselves right back under his discipline, so to speak, where you get such a hard heart, you take things into your own hands, and it isn't without consequence. So it does matter how we respond to our disappointment. And so just playing that forward a little bit more, Lori, when you think about someone who's walking through this place of disappointment and then taking things into their own hands and pushing their way through. I mean, I remember reading about a couple where she wanted that biological child and she was so determined to get it, but her marriage disintegrated because he was like, can we look at other options? Can we trust God? And her heart was in such a place of longing, but that there was also offense there and even striving. And you sure can see when you see that play out, that wasn't his best case scenario for them. So do you think in part we need to look at maybe the fruit of our striving and the fruit of our angst in the midst of our disappointments, is just to see where it's leading us?
Absolutely. In fact, a scripture that I reference again and again in the book is Isaiah 50:10. Let him or her who walks in the dark, who has no light, trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. And the very next verse says, but woe to you who light your own fires or provide your own torches. This is what you shall receive from me. You will lie down in torment. And I think what the Lord is saying through Isaiah is we have that choice, much like Sarah and Abraham when they got their promise. And, you know, God bless them. I can't even imagine what it would be like to be 80 or 90 years old receiving that promise and not trying to do it myself. I am a total planner and controller, and I can imagine doing that. But as we all know from looking at the story, by recruiting Hagar and trying to make God's plan happen, it ended up creating a left turn in their lives and a lot of pain in their lives that could have been avoided had they not waited. And I think the Lord sometimes just is calling us to wait. What's interesting is when we do go forward and and do our thing, and then it goes bad, so many of us blame God for that. And I think we do have to, and just what you were saying, Susie, I think we do have to look at how much of this right now is something I can't control, and how much of what I'm in right now is something I did control, and how much does it have to do with my actions and not the Lord's actions. And if it's just circumstantial and the Lord has got you in a situation that is difficult, you just hold on, because this is not the end of the story. And he has a plan. And of course, we all know his plan is eternal. It's beyond just our life here. It's way bigger than we can see.
It's a bigger story. Tom, we're going to take your call in just a second. But Lori, I want you to read the scripture that you opened with one more time, because just to kind of piggyback off of what you just said, I'm thinking of that person who's listening who needs to see again, maybe to find that place of rest and say, I'm not going to concern myself with things that are beyond me. I'm going to still myself rather than striving in myself. Would you just read that passage and we'll take Tom's call?
Psalm 131, and it's David who speaks. My heart is not proud, O Lord. My eyes are not haughty. I do not concern myself with great matters or things too wonderful for me, but I have stilled and quieted my soul like a weaned child with its mother. Like a weaned child is my soul within me.
Oh, love God's word. So this is my question to you, unless you've got a question for Lori. My question to you is, how would you title this particular chapter of your life? I've got three copies of Finding Faith in the Dark. How would you title this current chapter? 877-933-2484. We've got Tom calling in from Fargo, North Dakota. Tom, welcome. You're on the air.
Hi, Susie. I get so much from your show every time I listen. I just thank you so much.
So glad.
I guess how I would title my chapter would be spring, and not in the weather sense. We used to sell equipment trailers, and when a tire would go down, it would be stretched to just about its limits and then slowly come back up again. And this is how it's happened to me since the 1st of October. Like a giant pothole, and slowly coming back up again, reading the Word again, getting back into God's Word. And so many people said, God's got a plan. My wife and many other friends said, God, just hold, you know, just hold fast to God. And I didn't want to. I wanted to run, but I didn't place the run. And of course, God would follow you. God would be there. But he's just always waiting for you to come back to him. But this is how I look at it. And it's still, I can feel a little bit, but it's getting better, being around more, you know, more believers. Yeah. But it's just spring is how I would title this.
I love it. You might need to write that someday, Tom. And Lori, did you want to say anything to Tom?
It's a beautiful image, Tom. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.
Yeah, God bless you, Tom. Get a copy of Lori's book, 877-933-2484. I want you to think about this. It's very good to identify just the season of your life you're in. It helps you even kind of pinpoint some of the things you're feeling. And I love how Tom articulated that, 877-933-2484. So, Lori, how about you? How would you answer that?
Oh, my goodness. Well, Susie, I am definitely in a different season now. And I would actually maybe mirror what Tom said in terms of spring or possibly summer, just thinking about the seasons of my life. Though there continue to be challenges, now that I am married, and I did finally get married at the ripe young age of 49 years old for the very first time. It is never too late. I know a woman who just got married at 65 for the first time.
Way to go.
So you know what?
Yeah.
God's time is not our time.
That's right.
And so I have a wonderful husband. We just celebrated our 5th anniversary. Matter of fact, one of my best friends was in the wedding, and she was celebrating her 28th wedding anniversary on our wedding day. So
wow.
Same anniversary, 28 years apart.
I love it.
We're still dear friends. So, and I have a stepson who I adore. His mother actually lives in Australia, so he's with us 9 months out of the year. So I really get to be a mom, and God has just, in the brokenness of both of our lives, in fact, my husband sang Broken Road by Rascal Flatt at our wedding. So he is able to work new chapters even when we think it's too late or nothing can happen.
Amen. 877-933-2484. If you've got a question for Lori, you sure can chime in. But otherwise, my question for you is, how would you title this particular chapter of your life? Bobby's calling in from Wahpeton. Where's Wahpeton?
It's right next to Breckenridge, where you will be on Saturday.
Yay, okay. That's right. I'll be speaking there. Good, Bobby. So what's your chapter title?
Mine would be Still and Know.
You want to say more about that?
Well, because my tendency would be to micromanage, not to be still. It would be to, like, daily send God my email with, like, my bullet points of the day.
Wow. I relate to that, Bobby.
Yeah. Well, Bobby, thank you for that call. And look forward to meeting you face-to-face Saturday. I'm going to be speaking out at Valley Christian Church, by the way, if you can make the trek. And Bobby gets a copy of Lori's book, Finding Faith in the Dark. And I see a couple more calls coming in. So you had what you call a burning bush moment. I think it was shortly after your fiance ended the relationship. Tell us about that.
Well, in the book, I referenced how Moses saw the burning bush and had to walk over and take a look at it. And that was where God spoke to him about this new chapter in his life at 80 years old that he was
at
going
the ripe
to have,
young age,
which
mean.
Of course ended up being the greatest chapter of his life. And this is what I'm talking about. We have such a timeline in our minds, but God's vision is so far bigger than ours, and his timing is so different. And for me, actually, the burning bush happened when I received a call 4 months after my engagement broke up. I was back in my apartment that I had originally subletted because I was going to obviously move in with him when he got back from Iraq. And so now I'm back where, you know, just not wanting to go back, and I'm back and got this call from a friend of mine who was a pastor in Santa Barbara, and he had just planted a church and was calling because they were praying about a new position, a pastor of small groups, and wondered if, you know, he said your name came up in our prayer, and we just wondered if you were interested in the possibility of coming up and interviewing. And I frankly wasn't looking for a job, but the fact that they were praying and my name came up, I thought, you know what, I need to go up there and check this out. Because, and I think what I write about in the book is that sometimes the door that opens isn't the door we're looking for, but it's going to lead us to other doors that will continue to unfold God's provision and presence in our lives.
Boy, that's so good. Sometimes the door that opens isn't the one we're looking for, but it leads you to where God wants you to go. 877-933-2484. Tim is calling in from Grand Forks, and he's got a chapter title for us. Hey, Tim.
Hi. Yep. Thank you, Susie. I love your show. I listen every day that I can, and the chapter, my chapter title would be From the Valley to the Mountaintop. Looking at a job change in my early 50s and all the fear and worry and anxiety that comes with that, and finding the faith to make it up to the top of the mountain, and that's what I'm going through right now.
Wow. Tim, finding a job at the ripe young age of 50, right? Right, Lori?
That's exactly right, Tim.
Yep.
You are brave, Tim. I love it, and I'm so grateful that you listen. Lori, did you want to say anything else to Tim?
I'm just so encouraged by your faith, Tim. And I think that's, you know, you have to realize that it looks old from our perspective, but from God's perspective, the best chapter could be ahead for you.
Yeah.
So that's so exciting.
And he does some of his best work, you know, in those latter years, if you look in Scripture so often. So, Tim, we wish you God's best, and I pray that God will boggle your mind with what he does in and through you. Jed is just so amazing. Well, we just got a couple seconds here before we take a break, but actually I'm going to have to ask you on the other side because I want you to tell me the story with every detail, how you met your husband and how you dared to trust again. And I know a little bit about that story because we talked about it last time, but I need some refreshing, and I know others are curious about it as well. So let's do that. So you just get ready, sister.
Okay,
will do. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. How do you title the chapter that God has you in right now? What's the title? And do you have hope? I hope you have hope. You can also email me, Susie@myfaithradio.com. I think we can get a few more books if we've run out of Lori's book, Finding Faith in the Dark. More with Lori Short in just a moment. Thanks for tuning in. I'm Susie Larson. This is Live the Promise, having a great conversation with Lori Short. The title of her book is Finding Faith in the Dark, when the story of your life takes a turn you didn't plan. And hearing from so many wonderful listeners, I asked the question, give me the title of your current chapter of life. If it was in a book, how would this chapter be titled? And so, boy, Tom said his is spring. Bobby said, be still. And Tim said, from the valley to the mountaintop. Maureen called and said, oh, by the way, she says, I also got married at 49, and we will be grandparents next summer. Congratulations, Maureen. So what about you? We've got more books off of our Faith Radio shelf. I would love to hear from you. 877-933-2484. And if you just tuned in, Lori tells the story, before, first half of the show, about waiting longer than you expected to find Mr. Right. Finally, you're engaged. You actually had a couple of showers. Your fiancé was deployed, and you have a home that when he comes back, you're getting married. And he comes back and he breaks off the engagement. And you walk through this valley of the shadow. Well, you're married. You've got a stepson. Tell us how you met your husband and when you dared to trust that this might be a second chance for you.
Well, you know, I have a chapter titled Fearing Grace in the book. And what happened was I had a conversation with a friend of mine, a guy that I had led a book club with, and he mentioned that he went jogging with this guy who he goes, and every time I'm with him, I think of you. And he said that his ex-wife had just left him. And I said, oh, no. And so we just sort of put it on the shelf. And then through a series of events, another person said something about him, and we ended up meeting, and we really began as friends, both of us terrified. He had been through his own story of pain, and me too. And but I just realized that if I was going to just shut down and say, I'm not open, then I couldn't allow God to do what he could do through a situation by doing it differently. And I talk about in the book how so often our fear keeps us from what God has from us because of what the trauma we've experienced in our lives. And moving forward in faith and saying, Lord, I know I might get hurt again, but I'm open to the way that you're going to maybe do this path new was what led me to my greatest joy. And so I think sometimes we have to be open to the fact that God wants us to overcome our fears and hold his hand and have faith.
Mm, beautiful. So you had a first date with him. What was going on inside?
Well, we actually, both of us just said, we're just going to be friends, even though my attraction was very huge. In fact, I always say he has two looks. One is Clark Kent and one Superman. And when I met him, it was Clark Kent. And then, I knew he seemed attractive to me, but I wasn't intimidated as much as the second time I met him because I saw him and I thought, oh, I mean, I can remember walking towards him, my stomach was turning inside and out, and I thought, I'm not supposed to feel this way. I'm 49 years old. And it was so wonderful how God brought that. So we really became friends, which was a beautiful way to begin our relationship.
What a great story. I'm so happy for you, Lori.
Thank you.
What a great story. Well, you made such a good point when you wrote that many of us feel done long before our prison sentence is done. And, you hear that, I am so done with this. And sometimes you sure understand it because the journey has lasted so long. But I want you to talk about the problem of being done before God says you're done.
Well, I think with timing, we just say, you know what, Lord, this is long enough. I've waited long enough. And I'm sure there are many listeners who have felt that in some area of their lives. And yet, nothing is happening. It's not, the thing that we want is not happening, and it doesn't appear that God is listening or that he is really heeding our pain. So I think that at that point, we just have to hold on and trust, and that's our choice.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just processing what you're saying, and I'm thinking about a time for me as a young mom battling Lyme disease with three little kids and our finances were turned upside down. And I just remember saying that and then instantly repenting, feeling such a conviction going, I don't get to decide. I don't get to say when this is done. So I need to continue to entrust my soul to you. I mean, because, you know, I could throw a hissy fit every single day. It would never get me where I wanted to go.
Absolutely.
And boy, a surrender of the will. It's so hard. But love this quote from your book. You said, imagine if God had allowed Job to glimpse the cosmic battle that swirled in the heavens above him. If Job had been given the knowledge that he was participating in a script much bigger than his own, imagine. Suppose the sky had been peeled back and Job could have seen just for a moment how significant he was in the story he knew nothing about. Of course, this would have changed Job's journey altogether, but it was his inability to see that made the story what it was. And so this is what's so the tension that we live in is to believe, in fact, that we are part of a bigger story without knowing how that story unfolds, how it's going to go, and what our part is in it. Talk about that and how we can live in that tension of faith and belief and being on a need-to-know basis.
Well, absolutely. I think it has to do with the fact that we do not see what is really going on. God's perspective, as we read in the Psalm, in Psalm 131, is so far bigger and more wonderful than we can even imagine. And we are involved not in our own story only, but in his story, which is involves so many other people and so many other circumstances. And so sometimes we have to trust that what we're going through, even though it's not our timing or our desire, that for whatever reason, we're involved in something that's bigger than we can see. And I maintain that sometimes God is working in us because of our circumstances, and sometimes he's working around us. And many, many times in ways that we can't see. But then we look back, and through the rearview mirror, we see so much more what God was doing.
I was just pondering that this morning during my prayer time, Lori, and I was reading about the story of Lazarus. And Jesus has his disciples. He heard that Lazarus is ill, and he waits where he's at for a couple of more days. And Mary and Martha, you know, their brother died. And so you think about, we get the benefit of this at-a-glance look at this story. But, you know, the disciples are with Jesus, and for a moment there, they don't think it's as bad as it is. If he's just sleeping, Lord, why do we need to go? But Mary and Martha have a front row seat because now Lazarus is in the ground. And when the disciples and Jesus, when Jesus says, we're going, you know, I think it was Thomas who said, well, let's go and let's die with Christ. And the kind of courage it took for him to say, if we go, we're going to risk our life. But all of it was, that story was for everybody involved, right? Because Jesus was at the center of
it.
And that just was so good for me to read because, you know, I've got a portion of a story and there's something that ails me and something that kind of causes me that to have to really trust God. I have to, as you just said, remember, step back and go, there are more players in this story than just me. And God has a bigger will than just me, but he cares about just me. You know, that ability to be writing a big story, but be so personally involved with us. Can you speak to that a little bit?
Absolutely. Well, in that story, we know that what Jesus had in mind was a resurrection, not just a healing.
Exactly.
And so for that reason, Lazarus died. But I can't even imagine what it was like for Mary and for Martha and for Lazarus to go through that. And yet, thank the Lord for that story, because the hope that that story has given to us, not only for what he can do in our lives here, but what he ultimately has in mind in our life. And again, his purposes for that, you know, that story is very mysterious because he knows what he's going to do. And it's really interesting to me in that story that even knowing what is ultimately going to happen to Lazarus, he weeps with Mary because he understands pain and he's with us in it. And that is huge for those of us that are going through difficult circumstances.
So true. And here's another quote from your book. You wrote, because we exist on a timeline that God is not bound by, we see things from a limited perspective. Thus, we look ahead to what God already sees. This knowledge helps us wait out our circumstances because we know someday we'll look back and see things differently. Man, if we could all tattoo that on our arm, someday we'll look back and we'll see things differently. It is true every stage of life. Every time we get through another stage, we look back and go, I really did only know in part, you know?
Absolutely. That's so true.
So in Ephesians, we read about, in Ephesians 6, we read about that, you know, our battle is not against flesh and blood, and we are equipped and armed for battle. What is the enemy's ploy, you know, his MO is always the same, but what are things we should watch out for when we're in the dark, trying to find faith in the dark? What are his age-old tricks that we have to be wise to?
Well, I think for one, it's the battle of discouragement. You know, God really doesn't have anything for you, and your circumstances are all that you that are really going on. And boy, we're tempted by that all the time. I mean, because we really have to look at our lives with eyes of faith to know that there is something happening right now that I cannot see, and I am going to trust my Lord over my circumstances. That is so difficult, and we need good friends, people who know the Lord in our lives that can help us when we are weak so that they can hold our hand and say, I know God is still working. I know he's faithful, and we're going to stand with you in this circumstance.
So, Lori, how do you view God differently now that you had to wait so long for the desire of your heart and then the way that it came about? You know, how is your theology impacted? How is your perspective of God and even of your own story impacted?
Well, certainly, Susie, my life has been a huge testimony to what God can do. And my wedding was just amazing, so much more beyond a wedding because it really was a testimony of God. In fact, my theme verse on our program was, is anything too hard for the Lord, which was, of course, Sarah's verse when she gave birth. And I feel like because I've watched what God can do, and not just in my life, but again, the stories in the book, there are many other stories of how God answered prayer. And what I love about the way I wrote this book is it's not a cookie cutter, everything all is perfect in the end and you don't feel pain. I mean, it's really pain that does some of the work in our lives. And it's going through that pain that we become what God wants us to become. So it wasn't just even my circumstances that have bolstered my faith. It's really what God did through my circumstances in me that has bolstered my faith and also in the lives of others.
It is so important for us not to get our way sometimes. You know, when you meet people who really everything sort of has worked out, there's sort of a one-dimensional at times perspective on faith. And at least I've encountered this where it's they kind of look at you like, well, you must have missed a step because if you look at me, I did the steps and I've got what I want. Well,
right.
And I look at some of the ways that my heart broke or some disappointment reigned, something that I've taken away from that, Lori. And I would guess that you would echo this as well, that this is not about a formula that guarantees an outcome. This is what the Lord has spoken to me, that it is more about an offering that promises a harvest, which is way different. And we cannot, he's not bound by our timeline or even our desires, but he cares about our hearts. So I want you just to talk about how I'm sure this blew the doors off of any inkling that you may have had that if I do this, I get this, you know?
Absolutely. And I think that theology can sometimes be very dangerous, to be honest with you,
yeah.
That if we're doing all the right things, God's going to do this. We know in Scripture that that's not true because there were people, including Jesus, who did not get the prayer that he wanted in the Garden of Gethsemane. If it be possible, pass this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And he knew that he was here for a bigger story. And yet, I love that prayer because he takes up our human cry, which is, Lord, I don't want to go through
yeah.
this. And so I think it is dangerous to say to people, if you just do this or there must be sin in your life. I mean, I think Job's friends did that.
Yeah.
And God in the end commended Job, not his friends. And Job wept and wailed and cried out and took his complaint to God. But in the end, after God took him on a world tour and showed him how big he was and how big life was, Job ended up repenting. So something happened to Job's perspective in that book. And I think that that's so important for us and something that we have been continuing to talk about.
Yeah, he's so much bigger than we know. And I think she says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I mean, to put him in his rightful place is to put our toes on the edges of wisdom. We lose sight of that if we think somehow he's bound by, if I do this, he's bound to do this. And yet, on the flip side, he does move when we pray. It matters when we plant seeds of faith in the dark. And so talk about that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, again, part of it is just our ability to say, just what Jesus did, not
yeah.
my will, but thine be done.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a huge prayer and a very mature prayer. And it's not easily said. And I, you know, it's not like every day I went, okay, God, you know, I want to be married. But you know what? it's okay. I mean, I think it's all right to cry out to the Lord with your wishes and your wants, particularly if there's something that you know God would want you to have. And yet, then we say, but you know what, Lord, if it doesn't come today, or if it doesn't come next week, or even next year, I am willing. Just like people who are born without legs or arms or other things that they would much prefer living with. We are called to live the circumstances that God has given us. And how we live those circumstances makes a huge difference, I think.
So true. And thinking, too, as you're talking, Lori, that when we get what we want when we want it, I have compassion in our hearts. And so when you look at people who've gone without for whatever reason, in that in-between time, God cultivates something so often in the person's heart for others who suffer like they do. I mean, I think of the battered wife who opens up a home for battered women, you know, the person who's an addict who decides to pour his life back into those in recovery. Again and again and again, in that place of heartbreak or disappointment is fertile soil where God can develop a Christ-like compassion in our hearts. And I'd love for you to speak to that as far as how that's even worked in your own life. As you've gone without and you waited and you went through some heartbreak, how does God use you now to minister to those in that time in between?
Well, I was just with a group of young women last night who had read my book and wanted me to come and meet with them, and just sharing with them and hearing their stories of waiting and heartbreak and the encouragement that they got. I am so thankful that God opened this door that I could write this book, because I totally believe in what you're saying, that our places of pain are our most fertile ground for ministry. We even see that in the woman at the well in John 4. As soon as Jesus confronts her, she goes running back to the Samaritans and says, "Come meet a man who told me everything I ever did." And this coming from a woman who was hiding
exactly.
in the middle of the day, you know? So I do think that our greatest pain, and sometimes even our greatest mistakes, I talk about wrong turns in the book, that when we turn back and when we allow the Lord into our life, he can use it for his glory. He can use everything in our lives. So I always tell people, the harder your story is, the better it is. I believe that actually God even loves you just that much more if your story is difficult, because he trusts that you can make it, and he is the God of great stories. I mean, we do have a God of great stories.
We definitely do, and your story is not finished yet, and he's near to the brokenhearted. And were you ever in a time, I think you alluded to this a little bit, where you were afraid to hope again? And if you would speak to the person who's been beat up enough by life that they maybe are afraid, you know, feeling like, you know, was it Tom, who was it, that got a job? But, you know, it'd be easy to think, I'm this age, surely God doesn't have a next chapter for me. Talk about that fear of hoping again.
Well, you know, in fact, even entering this relationship, I knew, and I, you know, the story that I tell in the book of the broken engagement isn't even the end as far as breakups that I went through. You wouldn't believe. And so it was very difficult to even possibly hope. And I think it's two things. You hold hope by saying, Lord, you know, people would say, well, it's when you don't want it that God will bring it. And I said, well, then God's never going to bring it, because how am I going to fool God that I want this, you know? So instead, I just chose to open my hands and say, Lord, you know my desires of my heart, but I am willing also to live today. And so I lived with it, much like someone would live with a disability, this emotional disability. I just said, you know what, Lord, you have other things that you're doing. And I'm so thankful now, because it was at least half my life, 49 years. I mean, unless I'm going to be a Smucker's label ad, which might be, you know, my husband and I are hoping. But, you know, I had to live a lot of my life single, and I'm so glad I didn't just sit on a couch waiting for him to arrive, but I lived my life, and I lived with my tears sometimes. And we think that courage is something that we have to take up at certain parts of our lives. But we are so blessed by the Lord when we do.
Yeah, so, so good. Say a little bit more about what you learned about grace. I know you wrote about that in the book, but grace, especially when your heart is feeling like it's not getting what you so desire.
Yeah, well, I think in my journey with grace is, you know, I talk about fearing grace and having to go through some of my biggest fears, and not just me, but another story that I chronicle in the book of a woman who had a baby that died after 3 days and had heart complications, and just getting pregnant again, what that was like for her and for me, just dating again. And I think when we've experienced trauma, sometimes we avoid that path and then miss out on something that God might have if we're willing to hold his hand. But I knew that the risk was that it might not work out with my now husband. You know, I had no guarantees when I entered in. But I also knew that if I closed my heart up and just said, you know what, I can't hope anymore, I'm just shutting that door, that I could never get possibly what God had. I mean, we work with God in these things. So, and then, of course, grace is always a surprise. We can't earn it. It just comes. And for me, when this happened so late in life, and I ended up wearing the dress that hung in my mother's closet for 5 years with a humidifier on it, and I think it was her hope chest, but just to see what God could do, it was like a resurrected hope for me, and not just for myself and my husband, but for everybody who came to the wedding. It was a testimony of what God could do.
You know, I want to be careful how I ask this, so I pray for some grace as I do. When we have these deep desires, sometimes we can put them in a place as if they're the source and not the gift, and yet even the answers to our prayers, as wonderful and dear as they are incomplete at best in that, you know, Jesus is the one who completes us eventually when we go to heaven. You know what I'm saying? Like,
absolutely.
Because you still have dirty underwear to pick up off the floor. You know, the person who
That's
wants to
right.
go to school has all-nighters that they still have to complete to, you know, to do the work. The point being that the blessing does come with a measure of stewardship and responsibility and battles. And so just speak to that, because I think when you're in that place where you're in the not yet, you can shift your hope and I'll be all right when I get this thing. But it's not exactly true.
Absolutely. That is so true. I mean, it is so easy for single people to think once I find that person, life will be perfect. And I'm here to tell you, and I know you feel the same way, Susie, that anyone who's on the other side of marriage knows that life is never perfect. And it doesn't take away from the blessing. I am so blessed and so thankful that God has given me such a good match for me. But life is still hard. And we are called to steward our lives. And nothing here in this world is going to fill us the way God does. Even if it's a desire you've been waiting for, in my case, for 49 years, it's not going to fill the same hole that God does. And I believe through all my breakups, God was actually working that healing in me, because I think I believed that. And by the time I got married, I knew that it wasn't true. I knew that I could survive with or without marriage. And I think that was a really important place for me to get to. It wasn't that I'd stopped wanting it, but I knew that I didn't need it to survive, that I could even go through a broken engagement and still make it with God's help. And that is what he longs for, because he is the suitor of our hearts, every single one of us. And he's the only one that can fill those deep desires.
And this matters, because you think about, let's say someone is just dreaming about their dream job and they finally get it. And then they get into a place of fear. I don't want to lose this. And I'm going back to the fear of the Lord. You know, the fear of man is a snare. The fear of the Lord is freedom. In Proverbs, you can just see if you shift your hope into man. So I don't want to blow it with this husband. I waited so long. I don't want to blow it with this boss. I've waited so long for this job. Suddenly you're captive by fear rather than walking in the freedom, saying God ultimately is the one who employs me, or God's ultimately the one who completes me. You can see that subtle shift can make the difference between a healthy relationship and a captive relationship, right?
Oh, that is so true. And I have to tell you, I did struggle my first year of marriage. I thought, okay, he's going to work. He's not going to come home.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's sort of like you've been through so much pain, you just are used to it. So it's like, bring it on. And God just worked with me in humor, I think, in that I just realize, you know what, Lord, we don't know how many days we have. We don't know what we have, but I am just called to live today. The happiness as well as the sorrow. I think sometimes we get so used to trauma and pain that we keep creating it in our life.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that sometimes, you know, we're going, hey, God's going, hey, you're not in that season right now.
Yeah.
I'm giving you goodness. Don't be afraid. Just walk in it.
Mm. Boy, we can sabotage our joy because we get so used to our captivity. It's kind of amazing. Well, Lori, I always appreciate talking with you. So you got to keep us posted on what's going on, and we got to get you back, and we'll just keep talking. How about that?
I would love it. Thank you so much, Susie. It was great to be on your show.
I'm not going to let you go just yet, if you don't mind. I want you to pray for that person who's in the dark, who's not found the faith yet. Would you pray for that friend listening today?
Absolutely. Lord, I just want to pray for anyone who's tuned in right now who may have tears right up in their eyes because of a season that you are calling them to walk through. God, would you just show them your grace? Would you show them your love, mm-hmm. the fact that you care for this person, that you know their pain, you know their season, you see it all, and you see so much more than they can see. And ultimately, Lord, we know that your goal in all of our lives is to make us into the people you dream us to be so that we can walk with you in glory, which is beyond this earth and beyond this life. And so, God, give us courage to live the story that you have given us. And for any listener that might need that courage now, would you infuse them with your strength and your hope? Mm. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. God bless you, dear sister. I appreciate you very much.
Thank you so much. I appreciate you, too,
Susie. Always good to be with you, Laura.
Thank you.
I am not alone.
You've been listening to Live the Promise. I'm so glad you tuned in. That was Hour 1, talking to Lori Short. Next, we're going to talk to the lead singer from Remedy Drive. It's Artist Corner Hour. We're going to hear some songs, hear some backstory, and talk about the issue of human trafficking. If you have children listening, you might want to get them busy doing something else because of some of the sensitive nature of the topic we'll be addressing. Stay tuned. Hour 2 is next.